Yo, 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 what is good, y'all? It's your boy back for another episode. This week two recap that I promised y'all I was coming back with, it's here. Week two of the NFL season. It was a crazy week. The first 2 weeks of football have been phenomenal so far. I'm loving this season. Last week, though, week two was probably the worst week for my team in a while. As you know, if you've listened to week one or any of the other sports segments I've done where I've talked about football, you'll know that my favorite team is the Baltimore Ravens. And just I'll start off with them for the beginning of this week's episode. I want to talk about how the Ravens dropped this game. This is the big moment section, and the Ravens dropping this game was definitely a big moment. The first three quarters, as I watched the game, it seemed like the Dolphins didn't even belong on the same field as the Ravens. They were brutalizing them on defense. Lamar ran for 120 yards and a touchdown. He had like three passing touchdowns and 200-something yards. He was obliterating the team. And the defense was there. They cakewalked into the fourth quarter, up 21 points. And as I was watching the game, I was like, "Yeah, this is over. This game is done." There's no hope in sight for these guys. So I started flicking around some other channels, for a little while. And then I got a notification that the Dolphins were like marching down the field. And I was like, well, okay, what the fuck? So I went back to the game and I started watching it again. And they basically let Tyreek Hill run free in single coverage. And he scored a touchdown. Then the Ravens marched back down the field and had to settle for a field goal. Then on the next possession, the same exact play to Tyreek Hill happened again, where they basically let him roam free again and Tua hit him for a pass. I've heard a lot of people, friends that I know, on TV shows, things like that, talk about how Lamar Jackson kind of blew this game. And this is not on Lamar Jackson. This loss, I'm going to be 100%. Objective. This is not on Lamar Jackson. This was a failed defensive effort. Lamar Jackson gave you a 21-point lead. He had four touchdowns and 350 yards on the game going into the fourth quarter. This game was lost entirely on the defense. And while Lamar didn't go back down the field and answer them with a touchdown, he had already dominated three quarters of the game. He had given you four touchdowns, 350 yards, and three quarters of the game. You had a 21-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and you still had, I think, a 16-point lead with 6 minutes left in the game. And you blew the game. This is not a failed effort by Lamar Jackson. If the fourth quarter, no touchdowns were scored, the defense went out and did their job, and the game was over 35-14 or whatever it was, 31-14, everyone would have been praising Lamar Jackson. He had a nearly perfect QBR rating. I think it was like, it was right there. It was like 140-something. He was virtually perfect. He threw for 250 like yards or something, and he rushed for 120 yards, had a rushing touchdown and three passing touchdowns. He dominated the game. He looked like an MVP caliber player. And then once the defense blew the game and allowed 28 points in the fourth quarter, it's the narrative somehow turned into Lamar Jackson a failure and failed them during that game, which I 100% don't agree with. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm not a Lamar Jackson fan. I would like for the Ravens to pay him, but if he left, I would not be upset. the Ravens have never won a championship through quarterback play. It has always been a defensive first team. We won with Joe Flacco. We won with Trent Dilfer. We were not a franchise quarterback driven team that relied on those things to win championships. We relied on our defense, not our offense. And the way that our defense played in that fourth quarter was the most embarrassing thing that I've ever seen as a Ravens fan. I think that was the worst defensive performance in a fourth quarter in franchise history. I'm not even sure if that's a fact, but all the years that I've watched the Ravens, that was the worst fourth quarter performance I've ever seen in my life. It was an embarrassment. It looked bad on the franchise. It looked bad on Lamar Jackson. It looked bad on the defense and all the coaches for not making adjustments and putting, you know, I noticed these guys were still blitzing when they were up. We were up 21 points and you're still blitzing and leaving two of the fastest receivers in the league in single coverage. What are you doing? What is the defensive coordinator doing blitzing up like 20, 21 points? You should be stopping the pass because that's what they're going to be doing because they're down. You already have a good defensive line, so just keep the run yards to a very small minimum and stop the completions, and the game is over. But instead, you were blitzing and leaving these two guys in single coverage, and they were dusting the whole secondary. It was terrible. I just want to say the Ravens failed. That was a miserable performance by them, and I'm disgusted. I was disgusted as a Ravens fan seeing that. But this is not on Lamar Jackson. I want to be clear. This is not on Lamar Jackson. I'm not like a Lamar Jackson stan. Like I said, he could leave. I'll be happy regardless. This is not on him. This is on the defense, the coaches, the team. He did his job. The defense didn't. But in terms of other big moments while we get through the week, last week was a comeback day of the ages. There were three massive comebacks. The Ravens blew a game, as I just talked about, allowed 28 points in the fourth quarter. The Browns blew a 15-point lead in like a minute and 20 seconds or something. I was watching that game, and when Nick Chubb scored that touchdown with like a minute and 30 seconds left, I was like, oh, this game's over. I'm turning this off. And it was like 30 to 15 or something, and I was like, yeah, this is over. So I turned the game off, and I was watching the game with a friend through an online through Xbox Live. I was watching a game with a friend, and I switched over to I don't remember which game was on at the same time. I was just flipping through because I have a Sunday ticket, and he started freaking out, and he was like, "Oh my God, they just came back! It's a tie game." And I was like, "What? Who's a tie game?" And he was like, "Oh, the Jets." And I was like, "Dude, there's no way! I just turned that game off with a minute and 30 seconds left, and they were down 15 points, and they managed to come back." I had to watch the highlights. There was a great throw from Joe Flacco. He looked great that game in the fourth quarter. It looked like old Broadway Joe. He was great. And it was a great performance from the Jets. Great comeback. Their defense did not look good that game, but they pulled it out and they won. Big, big win. Another comeback was the Cardinals' comeback against the Raiders. That was another game where it looked like it was over. And Kyler Murray turned into Lamar Jackson, so to speak, and willed them to victory. I will preface this by saying I don't think, while I like Kyler Murray, the issues that I see people's claim about Lamar Jackson, how he can't throw the ball, he relies too much on the run, he's not a good passer, all of the things that I see heaped on Lamar, I never see heaped on Kyler Murray. And I see those things more prevalent with Kyler Murray than I do with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has a lot of comeback victories, especially last year. He did it like four or five times. He had four or five comeback drives winning the game. He has like the third or fourth highest winning percentage in the, through the first 50 games of his career. Other than like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Patrick Mahomes, I think those are like the top four. He is a consummate professional, and I think it's unfair that those things are placed on him and not Kyler Murray. I never hear those things said about Kyler Murray, and he is, those things are more prevalent with him than Lamar. And Kyler has much better receivers his whole career than Lamar Jackson has ever had. Lamar Jackson has an amazing tight end. He had Marquise Brown, who is now on the Cardinals. So his best receiver is like the number three option or the number two option in Arizona right now. He has Zach Ertz, who's a great tight end. And he has DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the top five receivers in the league. He still can't get it done. I think if you gave Lamar Jackson those weapons, you would see a better performance from him. He's just never had the type of receiving core that Kyler Murray has. And he has done more with less. And Kyler Murray never gets those type of criticisms that Lamar Jackson does. But again, Kyler Murray, I think, is a good player. But the issues that I hear about Lamar Jackson from these sports columnists and things, I see more glaringly in Kyler Murray than Lamar Jackson, but I never hear them said. But besides that, Kyler Murray looked great that fourth quarter. He looked amazing. Super clutch plays, great decision making, some great catches made. It was a crazy comeback. I was not even expecting that. As I was watching the game unfold, I thought the Raiders won that game, and it was just a week of comebacks. There might be another one that I'm missing because there was just so many games, but it was definitely a week of big comebacks and big storylines. In terms of other big moments, I want to talk about like what's going on with the Colts. What is the issue? They were a great team last year. They had the best running back in all of football, and I think they still do have a top three running back in football. I don't know if he's going to be the number one like he was last year with multiple like 150-yard games, things like that. I don't see that happening this season with this team because it seems like they're kind of stacking the box, and Matt Ryan is not the same quarterback that he was even last year. He is not the same quarterback. He is not looking good at all. I think it's time for him, Matty Ice, to hang it up. He's just not doing it anymore. He looks defeated almost. He has not been the same ever since that meltdown against Tom Brady that pretty much ruined his career. I think he was in the prime of his career that season. I think he was MVP. He had one of the best seasons. He had the best season of his career. Not one of it. It was the best season of his career. And then that happened. That game got blown. That Super Bowl, the worst blown game in Super Bowl history. And he has never been the same since. I don't know what this Colts season is going to look like for them. They still have some great weapons on offense. They have a good defense. The quarterback play is really an issue right now, I think. I don't know if maybe it's the play calling, maybe it's the coaching, the offensive coordinator, and they're just not designing the right schemes and stuff to get these guys involved. and to get these players to maximize their potential and maximize the plays and synchronize the quarterbacks with the receivers and the running backs, get them all in synchronization with one another and play to all of their strengths. So I don't see that happening right now with them. I think they're going to stumble into the playoffs. I still think that they have a playoff caliber team because of what they have on offense and how good their defense is. But I don't think they're going to make any deep runs. I think they're going to stumble in and probably be a first round exit. But it's just a shame because they have a really good offense and a really good defense. If Andrew Luck, it's funny because if they had Andrew Luck right now, they would probably be a Super Bowl contender with that offense and that defense. They would probably be a Super Bowl contender, but it's scary times for the Colts right now and any of the fans. Another big moment was Trey Lance getting hurt. You never want to see that from a young quarterback. The guy has a lot of potential. He was highly drafted. I think he has a great arm. He super fast, can make really elusive and highlight plays. He helped win me a fantasy football trophy last year because he stepped in for one game for Jimmy Garoppolo and he put up some big numbers. I think he put up like 25 fantasy points for me. So he had a big game for me. I think he has a lot of talent. I just think it's kind of hard for him to get thrusted into that offense. So young, especially when everybody is kind of like, yo, we were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Like, we're still a Super Bowl ready team. We have an elite defense. We have a great offense. And it's a lot of expectations for a young rookie kind of QB to come in and make big plays for a Super Bowl bound team or a Super Bowl, a team with Super Bowl aspirations. It's very difficult. But again, let's hope for a speedy recovery from Trey Lance. Never want to see that happen. And now let's see what Jimmy Garoppolo can do. He came in and he did what Jimmy does and he won the game. He didn't do anything spectacular, but he's going to win you games. That's what he does. He's one of the best game managers in NFL history. He's got to be. He has an insane winning percentage. Never does anything where it's like, oh my God, this guy is amazing. But he is Tom Brady level game manager. Tom Brady is not a game manager, but he is the Tom Brady of game managers, in my opinion, Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think if he never left New England, he probably would have been putting up some, you know, huge wins in New England, and he might have even won a Super Bowl out there. But enough of the 49ers, Trey Lance, speedy recovery. Let's move on to the Giants squeaking out another win. The Giants came out of nowhere this season and have been squeaking out some victories. I'll say that it is against some suspect competition. He beat the Titans, who look absolutely terrible after losing A.J. Brown. Ryan Tannehill looks like he did in the Dolphins. He can't make a throw. His receivers aren't too great, other than Robert Woods, and they really have been underutilizing him. The Derrick Henry does not look the same. You see that he is still Derrick Henry at the end of the day, but he does not have the same type of burst, the same type of power rush that he did even a couple years ago. He has not really looked the same these past two games, and it could be because they're stacking the box and trying to prevent the run because they know there's no receivers out there and Ryan Tannehill isn't doing a great job of getting the ball to these guys. And then the Giants squeaked out a win against the Panthers, who did not look good at all. I think these two games for them, the first game, they lose that game 9 out of 10 times. The Titans should have won that game, and I think that kind of set them up for the second game, because I believe the Titans lost the second game as well of the season. But the Giants defense looks really good, except for the fourth quarter of game one. But they've looked really good this season. Their offense outside of Saquon Barkley has been uninspired, to say the least. I think Daniel Jones, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, can win you some games. I think where he loses you games and you get into a hole is when he starts turning the ball over with either fumbles or interceptions or just poor decision making. I think that's where he winds up losing you a lot of games. But if he can stay consistent, he can manage the game, he can protect the ball, make timely and good decisions, he can win you some games. You can wind up, you know, winning 6-7 games with him. But he is not going to propel your franchise to a Super Bowl. I don't know how well they're going to fare this week. I'm going to watch the game against the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to pull it out in the end. I think it's going to be a close game. But the way the Cowboys have been playing, they haven't been too great either. So I can definitely see the Giants starting out 3-0, which is big for them. But again, congrats to any Giants fans out there. It's been a while. We'll see what you guys can do. But another big moment was the Bengals blowing it again. The Bengals were heading into week two, tough loss. Week one, you've seen they started to pull it together the second half. And then Joe Burrow kind of went out this second game and looked exactly like he did the first half of game one. He just did not look good at all. He did not look like a guy that was just in the Super Bowl. He looked real shaky. Their offense looked stifled by the Cowboys, and the Cowboys who just lost their quarterback. I expected the Bengals to go into this game and absolutely dominate after losing week one. I did not think they would start out 0-2, especially against an injury-riddled Cowboys team with an unproven quarterback coming in and taking the reins. No Mike Gallup. CeeDee Lamb is kind of like the only guy you could really throw to out there. I think Zeke was laboring some type of like day-to-day injury, and you blew the game. Their offense did not look good at all. I don't know how the Bengals are going to pan out this season. I don't know if they were a fluke last year. I don't want to say they were because I don't think that was the case, but something's wrong this season. I don't know what it is. These past two games, they have not looked like a team that was just in the Super Bowl. They have a great offense. They have a pretty good defense. They gotta put it together now. It's not looking too great for them. I don't want them to win because they're my divisional rival, but I think, I like when my division is competitive and the Ravens wind out coming on top. I like a competitive division, and I think it sets you up for a potential deep Super Bowl run when you're constantly playing some good competition and being pushed to play your best every week. But let's see what they do week three. I really don't think they start out 0-3, especially against the Jets. But the way the Jets have been playing recently, they played pretty good defensively against the Ravens until they just gave the game up, and they played great against the Browns in the second half. These are two teams that I don't want to pick a victor because I feel like it can go either way, especially based on the way both teams have been playing. But I just want to say the Bengals are due, and I don't think they start out 0-3. I think the Jets wind up losing this week. The Bengals would be a lock for me, but in my heart of hearts, it's hard to say. I think as a betting man, I would say the Bengals, but as a football fan and enthusiast, it's hard to say. Another big moment was the last three games of the day. They were not very entertaining. They were kind of blowouts. It wasn't a great way to end a great day of comebacks and exciting games. The Packers blew out the Bears. That wasn't really entertaining. The Bills absolutely demolished the Titans. That wasn't fun to watch. The Eagles destroyed the Vikings. That wasn't fun to watch either. Unless you're a fan of those teams that dominated, then it's definitely fun to watch. But as a football fan, I like close games. I like competitive, fun games with a lot of big highlight plays. It just wasn't... the best moment of those games was that catch from George Pickens. That was an insane catch. That was one of the best catches I've ever seen. I think that was better than Odell's catch because he didn't have a defender directly on him. Pickens had a guy kind of grabbing his left arm, and he reached out with his right arm falling backwards and caught it with one hand. Odell was kind of like broke free a little bit from his receiver and like jumped and caught it with one hand. I think Pickens was a little bit more difficult and more of a spectacular catch, but they're both very close. Both of some of the best catches I've ever seen. I just lean a little bit more towards George Pickens' catch because the degree of difficulty factor and the guy who was throwing it to you. Eli Manning is a much better quarterback than fucking Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky is terrible. So that was a much better situation for Odell to catch that ball than for George Pickens. But I think that was the best moment of the night games, the last three games of the week, rather. It was not an entertaining way to close off the week. It was just kind of a blowout, and I wound up turning the game off in like the third quarter around halftime. It was like, yeah, these are over. Like, I don't really care to watch a blowout. But it was, again, a very exciting week. Aside from those final three games, I loved the week of football, week two. So let's move on to the MVP watch. MVP watch, I want to say, is Josh Allen is still, I think, the favorite right now for MVP. Put up two huge weeks back-to-back. Long weeks. One was a Thursday night game and one was a Monday night game. So, like, it was, he had a lot of time off and he was exemplary in both games. Phenomenal. I also still think the top three, in my opinion, are still there. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Pat Mahomes all showed that they are vying for MVP. They are all playing at an MVP caliber level. I think Jalen Hurts came out and tried to show people that he can be an MVP caliber player too. I think week two, he had a great fucking game. Even week one, he was good too. I think he's in the conversation. I don't know if he's at the same level as like a Josh Allen, a Pat Mahomes, and a Lamar Jackson right now, but I think he's still in the conversation. I heard people chanting Tua MVP, and he did throw for six touchdowns, but I don't know how much of that was actually Tua or the Ravens defense completely collapsing. I think this week will be a test when they play the Bills. I want to see what they were able to do against that team, because the first three quarters of that Ravens game, they did not look like they even belonged on the same field. Tua looked absolutely terrible. He was like 15 for like 25 in completions. Or like 10 for 25 in completions. I don't remember what it was. He was not looking good in completions at all. He only had like one touchdown or two touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. He had a lot of incompletions, not a lot of yards, and most of the yards that he had came from like a big chunk play from Waddle, where he ran for like 79 yards after a catch. He was not looking good. And then that fourth quarter, he just turned into Dan Marino and wound up putting up like almost 500 yards and six touchdowns. But it was, a lot of those yards were from runs from Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek had like a 60-yard run. He made one crazy deep pass to Tyreek after he dusted the secondary and ran for like 50 yards. He made a deep throw to him. That was a really good pass. That was one of the best passes I've seen Tua make in his short career so far. But a lot of these plays, a lot of these yards he had were from blown coverages and deep runs from Tyreek and Waddle, who both finished with like over 120 yards, which is insane because our secondary just really blew it. And I just don't know if it's our secondary or maybe Tua just had an epiphany in that fourth quarter, and now we're going to see a whole different type of player. But I wouldn't put him in the MVP conversation yet. If he does what he did last week or has a similar type of performance against the Bills and winds up beating them, then I'm slotting him into that conversation. But as of now, he's on the outskirts looking in. It's only 2 weeks. He had the best second week in all of football and in a quarterback perspective. So he's definitely on the outside looking in. But that's my current MVP watch. Lamar, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, in no particular order. Those are just the three guys in the conversation right now that are vying for that spot. And their play for the rest of the season are going to decide where that award lands. On to overperformers and underperformers for the week. Underperformers was definitely the Bengals. I just want to reiterate that the Bengals really shit the bed again. They were not good. These first 2 weeks, they did not look like a team that was in the Super Bowl. They just looked lost out there, so to speak. Joe Burrow hasn't been able to get it done. He's had flashes where it's like, oh, there's Joe. And then the majority of the game, it's kind of like, man, what's going on? The Colts, definitely underperformers of the week. One of the underperformers of the week. I said this earlier on in the show. You can't get shut out by the Jaguars. You just can't. You can't end the first week in a tie and then get shut out by the Jaguars, who is one of the worst teams in the league last year. Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback. I think he's going to wind up piecing it all together and being like a all-star in this league, a Pro Bowl player. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback for that franchise, and I think that if they get the right pieces around him, they can do some damage. They can make some noise. So it's nothing against the Trevor Lawrence or that team. It's the Colts just aren't it this season. There's something wrong. They got to fix something soon or it's a lost season for them. The Steelers is another underperformer. And I think that's because of Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky is not the quarterback for this team right now. You need somebody else out there throwing the ball. You can't have him manning your offense. He cannot be the guy that's driving your team to victory. He's just not it right now. And something needs to change. They need to go with Kenny Pickett or try. I forgot who the other quarterback is they have on that roster. I know it's Mitch Trubisky. It's another veteran quarterback. And then the rookie, Kenny Pickett. If it was me, I'm going with Kenny Pickett. Mitch Trubisky has not been good. He is, these past two games, I've seen enough. We got to get him out of there. That's my honest opinion. He's got to go. And it's got to be soon. You have a great defense. You lost TJ Watt, which is a big hit, but you have a great offense and you have a great defense right now. You're kind of like the Colts. You're in the same situation. You have a really bad quarterback. Matt Ryan is a former MVP. But he's kind of washed up. He's not a good QB anymore. You both have a QB problem, and it needs to be fixed soon. You have a young rookie that you drafted highly that you could develop into a really good QB. You have to give him a shot. You have to put him out there. You've seen enough from Trubisky. don't even give this other guy a shot. Mason Rudolph, that's, I think, the QB, and he's not good either. You got to just cut the fat and go straight to Kenny Pickett, and I think you guys can make some noise. Another underperformer was Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield just did not look good. I was expecting him to come out week two and want to prove everybody wrong after it's a tough game week one going against your former team. There's a lot of contention there. And then you lost. It's hard. So I guess he carried that into week two. But I was hoping that he would come out and show everybody, like, oh, I'm still a good quarterback. But he didn't look it. He didn't look it. Blew the game. Another game, close game. He could have been 2-0, but you know, the cards didn't fall in his favor week one or two. Jameis Winston has not been good. They need to figure out a quarterback situation in New Orleans. I don't think Jameis Winston is a quarterback that should be taking over after Drew Brees and the storied career that he had. Jameis Winston just throws a lot of picks. He's very inaccurate, a lot of attempts. He gets yards, but it's just from a lot of attempts. It's from a lot of attempts that he pulls these yardage numbers together. And he gets a lot. He's very inefficient, very interception prone. He is not a franchise quarterback. He should not be the guy that you go to first in your depth chart. I would honestly probably go Taysom Hill as opposed to him. I think Taysom Hill has a higher ceiling than Jameis at this point. I think we've seen enough from him throughout his career to know what type of quarterback he's going to be. He has moments where he looks amazing and then 5 weeks, 6 weeks of him looking terrible. And I think it's time for him to maybe take a bench role somewhere as well. But he has not looked good. And on to overperformers. I want to say overperformers this week was definitely Tua. I don't see him throwing for almost 500 yards and 6 touchdowns again this season. I don't see it happening. I think that was the overperformance of the week. Was Tua in that fourth quarter? He put up a full game's worth of numbers in the fourth quarter. He threw 4 touchdowns, I believe, and had like 250 yards or something, or 300 yards, something like that. He put up a game's worth of numbers in one quarter. I don't see that happening again. That was definitely the overperformance of the week. I think the Jets kind of overperformed in that last minute and 30 seconds. I don't see the Jets putting up a type of performance like the last this week against the Bengals. I think the Bengals are due. I think there's a potential for it to happen, but I think the Bengals are definitely due for a victory. I also think the Giants overperformed again. They won the first 2 weeks late in games. I think if they do it this week as well against the Cowboys, they win another close game. I think there's some... there's something to that. I think you do it, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you can't get fooled again. But I think week two was the real, week one was definitely a fluke. Week two was the real, real deal victory. I think if they do it again this week, then there's some merit to it. Where it's like, okay, they did it 3 times in a row. The first time was kind of a fluke, but it happened 3 times in a row regardless. Maybe this team has some fight in them. They have some stay, and they can wind up pulling out close games all season. On to predictions, since we're already a little bit over time. Ravens-Patriots. I think the Ravens are going to go in and really... have a great game because of what happened last week. I think the entire organization, the coaching staff, the players, Lamar, everyone is furious. Everyone's just kind of was so defeated and disgusted with themselves after that they're going to come out and they're going to really try and go crazy against the Patriots. I think they're going to show out. I'm hoping that's the case as well. But that's my gut feeling, is that they're going to come out re-energized and be like, you know what, we can't allow this to happen again. Like, this was an embarrassment to our franchise, and they're going to be invigorated to go out and play a hell of a game. As I've been talking about this game throughout the podcast, I think the Jets and Bengals is a tough one. I just want to see if the Jets can do it again. If they can go 2-1 to start the first 3 weeks of the season, I think that's a big win for them as a franchise. The Bengals starting out 0-3 is really rough, though. I don't even know if a team has done that was in the Super Bowl the year prior. I don't know if there's ever been a Super Bowl team to go on and lose the first three games of the season the year after. That would be a really crazy stat. I just don't see it happen. I don't see it happening. The Bengals are not a bad team. They have one of the best offenses in the league. They have they have a great quarterback. They have an amazing receiver. They have a great running back. They have a good tight end. They have multiple quality receivers in Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. And they have a good defense. I just don't see them losing again to a inferior team in the Jets. The Jets are a decent team, but they are not as good as the Bengals on paper, especially. So I just don't know if they're going to start out 0-3. I think this is a gimme week for the Bengals. I think they're going to go out and beat the Jets. But you never know. Bills and Dolphins is definitely a game that I'm looking forward to. And I think the Bills are going to absolutely dominate the Dolphins. They're going to start out 3-0. They're going to shut them down. And I think the Dolphins are going to look for four quarters. I think they're going to look the same way that they did against the Ravens for the first three quarters of that game. I think they're going to look lost. I think they're going to, they're not going to be able to convert. Their Tua is not going to look like he did in that fourth quarter. And I think that defense and that offense of the Bills is just going to be too much for them to handle. And they're going to go down big, kind of like they were against the Ravens. But I don't see a comeback like that happening again, because I don't think the Bills would blow that the way the Ravens did. Packers-Buccaneers. This is a rematch from a couple of years ago in the playoffs, where Aaron Rodgers just kind of shrunk and crumbled under the pressure. I want to see how he does now. This is probably the last time that we see Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers face off in a game, unless it goes into another playoff series. Even though I don't know why I said series, it goes into another playoff game. I think there's going to be a lot of hype for this game, just because it's potentially the last time that we see these two guys play each other, and two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going at it for the last time in their careers with two good teams. The Packers always find a way to be competitive with their receiving core. Aaron Rodgers is just able to make these guys into really good players. And it's the Buccaneers. They won a Super Bowl a couple years ago with Tom Brady. It's virtually the same team. So I can see, and they have one of the best defenses in the league right now. So I'm probably the best defense. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see this matchup. And there's going to be a lot of eyes on it and a lot said for the rest of the season, because of playoff potential later on. My other big game is the Monday night game. Cowboys-Giants, just like I said earlier. Cowboys-Giants is going to be really interesting. I want to see how the Giants react. If they can do it 3 weeks in a row, they can start out 3-0. And if the Cowboys can continue or build upon a little win streak with Cooper Rush and hold off these teams until Dak comes back healthy and see what they can do. It's going to be an interesting week. I'm hoping for another really good week. The first 2 weeks were great. I'm hoping for a really good week this week. Hoping for a Ravens victory. Just excited for the games. And hopefully dropping these episodes on Sundays helps, because you have a little bit of something to look forward to before the games start. You have a little episode to watch, to listen to, before the week commences. I'd like to get them out earlier, Monday mornings. Maybe I'll do that for this week. Just it's been really hard to get guests, so I apologize. It's hard to coordinate times with work, people's schedules, people got families and things. So it's hard to coordinate these days and times to talk about these games and just get content out there for you guys, because it's a lot. So it's much easier for me to kind of do these things alone. You got to rely on somebody being able to record their own audio and then getting all that stuff compiled together, technical difficulties and things of that nature. I want to get more guests on here, but it is a little difficult with all the coordination and technical aspects. So there will be more guests throughout the season, but I think for the most part, this is going to be a very singular experience for you guys, these week-to-week recaps. So hopefully you guys are enjoying. Let me know in comments and through email. Let me know if you guys want these episodes earlier in the week, maybe Monday mornings, so you have something to listen to on your way to work or to start your week off, or if you prefer them as a hype to week two, I mean to the next week on Sundays. You prefer it Sunday morning, that lull between the games when you wake up. Let's say you wake up at 8 a.m. and then you got hours until these games start. So you need something to do. You want to listen to some week two recaps just to get you caught up on games you might have missed. Hear some different perspective and just get hyped for the next week. Or if you, like I said, would rather at Mondays or in the middle of the week, something of that nature. Because I could definitely get that done Mondays. But again, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. There will be more content coming soon. This is not a sports podcast. It's just a lot has been happening in the sports world. I think I've done 5 sports podcasts recently and only 1 anime related and 1 video game related. But, you know, this is going to be a weekly segment, these recaps. And the other content that I have that's coming is going to be included in that. So there's always going to be something sports related for the football season while it's happening. But just trying to diversify that other content for you guys as well. So I'm trying to figure out a way to balance all that with each type of genre and type of content that we cover here. But there's a new anime season starting very shortly, so I will be talking about some series. So if when this season drops in October, we will be talking about some anime. Me and Black Ginsburg are going to hop on, definitely talk about Chainsaw Man and things of that nature. So any of you anime fans that just are getting tired of this, I'm sorry, but hopefully you're a sports fan and you're enjoying this stuff as well. Just eagerly awaiting some more anime content. But again, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Good luck to y'all teams week 3. Hopefully y'all guys get that W. Unless it's the Patriots, then I hope the Ravens get the W. And if you're a Ravens fan out there listening, love y'all. Let's get this dub. Peace out.